You're listening to SaaS Acquisition Stories, a podcast featuring the stories from both startup founders and buyers who have successfully gone through an acquisition process using MicroAcquire, the number one startup acquisition marketplace in the world. To date, MicroAcquire has helped hundreds of startups get acquired and has facilitated hundreds of millions in closed deal volume. Here's your host, Andrew Gazdecki.
All right. I'm here with Connor Skelly, the founder of Fission Agency. Connor, how are you doing today?
Hey, Andrew. Good. Great to meet you.
Well, thanks for taking the time to speak with me today. I'm definitely excited to hear about the company that you recently microacquired. But before we get into that, do you maybe want to give a short introduction of yourself for those listening?
Sure. Yeah. I'm Connor. I've been working in B2B marketing for 7-8 years or so. I recently started up a new agency called Fission, which is a marketing and sales ops agency for HubSpot businesses.
Nice. So you microacquired a business. What was it and what does it do? Let's start there.
Yeah. So towards the end of last year, I learned about microacquire, loved the marketing. I was following on social and I wanted to find a micro SaaS tool to kind of treat as like kind of a side project, I guess. And so I came across UTM Link Manager, and which is a short link builder UTM Link Builder really well built product, but I really just wanted to find a company that had terrible marketing or really no marketing at all and take my marketing expertise and help grow it.
Nice. I love that. In terms of, okay, so there's a lot of startups on MicroAcquire, mm-hmm. as I'm sure you're aware. What about this specific business stood out to you?
Yeah, so I had like 8 or 9 different criteria that I was looking for. So one was obviously like the marketing industry in general, a tool geared towards marketers. I wanted to work with like a single person business. I wanted things to be really simple and easy. So found just one founder team, few other things like, you know, lower revenue, micro SaaS, lower revenue. And let's see what else. I think that's probably about it. I mean, one of the huge things that I found just like as I was digging into it was there was like this 9,000 word or so like email course that was the main lead gen tool for the platform. So that was great to just have like this huge content asset on hand, because my focus was the marketing plan was re-engaging the existing and past customers to try to get them to convert again, as well as just using the product more, as well as like just SEO content, like low and slow kind of growth to build up that inbound foundation. So having that course and like updating it and posting it publicly as well really just like helped ignite the initial plans that I had.
Nice. That's awesome. And are you using this product to support your main business?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was using it for, I write a newsletter as well for startup marketers called Catch All. And so I would use that. I had like one area where I was using all links for that. So I would post on LinkedIn or Twitter or something like that. I was able to see like very specifically what was driving new subscribers. I used it for when I had my older consulting site. I used it for that as well to track just specific conversion on the site, things like that. And then I used it for 1 or 2 clients as well. That's really been like the sweet spot from a customer standpoint, is like finding like small agencies, like performance agencies or paid ad agencies, because they like live and breathe in UTM data and really specific marketing analytics. So yeah.
That's awesome. So in essence, you basically bought a product to support your existing business, maybe added a new service. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was like a nice to have kind of thing. Like the main goal of it wasn't for me to get really deep on my own content analytics, but as I was just like writing more and trying to build up more of a social audience, it was definitely a nice thing to have. So I could know exactly what was gaining traction, like down to the specific post level. And things publish automatically to Google Analytics once it starts getting traffic. So it was really easy to just build a dashboard, see what was, you know, check in once a week, twice a week to see what was going.
Nice. Yeah, I'm looking at the product. Product looks great. So nice pickup there.
Yeah, thanks.
I should say acquisition. In terms of, you know, you come across this business, you decide it's one you want to pursue. Can you walk me through just like kind of the initial process with mm-hmm. the seller that made you feel comfortable making this acquisition?
Yeah. So the, you know, one of the fields on the listing is like the reason for selling. And the guy had said, you know, his full-time job was picking up and he wanted to just get rid of this. He had built a few products like this before in the past. And so once I got in touch with him, you know, it was nice to know that he had like, he's built other micro SaaS tools before and had a couple other things in the pipeline. But you know, just his full-time job, which is very similar to what he did as a side project, was just picking up. And so I've definitely felt that before. Like I'll shiny object syndrome, picking up projects left and right. And then you have to like, you know, buckle down on what actually matters. So like, it was nice to, you know, connect on that, and big like product marketing guy too. So we had a lot of like, you know, conversation, just talk and shop.
Nice. So it sounds like you guys built some good rapport and that built kind of trust to move forward. That's great to hear. I always recommend, you know, it's really hard to do. There's a good quote. It's hard to do a good deal with a bad person.
Yeah.
So just, you know, the fact that you were able to connect with them on a personal level, I think probably built a lot of trust. But in terms of due diligence, how did that go? You know, can you walk me through just kind of like the steps that you went, just making sure that everything was, you know, up to what you expected it to be? Mm-hmm. Did you come across any hiccups? What was kind of like the transfer due diligence process?
Yeah, so I took it in a few different stages. So I asked, you know, before I submitted the letter of intent, I asked like all the questions that I felt comfortable asking, right? So everything just around marketing, product growth, any other like growth tactic or growth ideas or other things in the pipeline that he wanted to do but never did, all that kind of stuff. And once I was happy with like looking at the business metrics and the website analytics and all that kind of stuff, submitted letter of intent, and then we move forward into more of the technical due diligence side, which is where I worked with a friend of mine who has a small developer agency, and then he ran through the product. And then delivered a pretty thorough due diligence checklist of everything. And he pretty much was just like, yeah, this is good to go. You know, just if you want to scale, you know, you'll need to do X, Y, and Z. Once you can, you know, you'll probably hit these walls once you scale. And even the seller was really open about that stuff too. And was really transparent just around like, here's why things are structured this way. I never hit this point, but if you hit X, Y, Z, then you're going to want to pay for more or use another tool or hire someone or whatever it was.
Nice. And how did you structure the deal? If I can,
there's still 100% asset ownership, you know, asset transfer. It was under his LLC, just moved it to mine.
Simple. Nice.
Yeah. It honestly couldn't have been more simple.
Yeah. I really like how you, cause there are a lot of non-technical buyers that might require. One of my the recommendation I always make if they're looking to do technical due diligence is to have a agency or, you know, some individual that is technical that can help with that side. So that's awesome. You had a friend or agency available to do the technical due diligence just in case there's bugs or something like that.
Totally. Yeah. And like that, all of that stuff is like way over my head. Right. And one of the other things too, that reminds me is, I, you know, another bit of criteria of like looking into of when I was looking to buy something was like less than, you know, I forget what it was, like 30K or something like that or whatever. Because like I was comfortable with that or something. And then like, that was pretty much the criteria of like, do I get a lawyer or not? Right. On something like this. Talk to someone who's basically like, talk to a lawyer who was basically like, you don't need a lawyer. Like if I was comfortable taking that risk on for it, like it was the deal again couldn't have been simpler. So he was like, if as long as you're comfortable with it, and you know, you're likely good to go.
Nice. How fast from like initial reach out to the seller to actual close, how long did it take you?
It was probably about 2 months, I think, because we started the initial conversation like right around like December or like being December, so like the holidays and stuff kind of threw things off. And we officially closed, it was like early February of this year.
Nice. Yeah. Congrats.
Thank you.
I guess, you know, my next question would be, you know, I love how, and I'm assuming this is your first acquisition, is that correct? based off of that, you know, what are some maybe the biggest pieces of learnings that you know, got from just going through, you know, your first acquisition that you would maybe tell a buyer that has never acquired a company before?
Yeah, I mean, like, absolutely, just, you know, this is probably what everyone says, but like, absolutely, like, do your due diligence on it, because there were several other options that I talked through, you know, on MicroAcquire, like, great looking products, definitely had some good things about them. But then, like, you ask one or two other questions, and that's just like, oh no, that doesn't align with my personal, like, buyer goals. So definitely, like, ask everyone the same, like, full set of questions, even if the tools are a little bit different. Because that way, like, you're just establishing that baseline, you're able to compare offers or compare companies, you know, in a more fair way.
Nice. And one thing I really liked that you did is asking questions up front before sending an LOI. I see all the time where people rush to send an LOI.
Yeah.
Kind of lock up the startup, and then, you know, you have an exclusivity clause, and then they ask the questions, and maybe they find something they don't like, and it just kind of wastes everybody's time. So. Yeah. That was a good move on your part.
Yeah, and that's been my experience too. Just like talking with other people that are familiar with MicroAcquire, or like have you know, wanted to look at a deal or something. Like they like that it's really, like, it's very easy and stuff to ask those questions up front, and generally sellers seem to be really communicative too.
Nice. So flipping the table a little bit, you know, a lot of founders are looking to sell their business. Mm-hmm. If you had to give them any advice, given that you've gone through the process, it sounds like the experience went really smooth. What are maybe, you know, 2-3 tips you give sellers, just, you know, to ensure that they can increase the odds of them getting acquired?
Yeah, the first thing that sticks out is, like, the more information you share, the better. You know, obviously there's information that every company will have that you can't put front and center, but anything just around, like, product analytics or marketing analytics or anything like that, like, is, in my experience, seems to be, like, just a good starting point for this. And the more upfront you are with sharing that information, you know, less you're going to waste everyone's time. And definitely, like, just be transparent around, like, the stuff that you wanted to do but never got around to, right? Because you never know, you don't always know, like, what the experience of the buyer is on the other side. Like, they could have all of these ideas for a product in their head, and you could say, like, one thing, like, oh, we tried this but it didn't work, and that could send that could, you know, really accelerate the deal, because the buyer is like, oh, that's my expertise, like, I want to focus on that, or something like that. Or so just understanding, like, in more granular way, like, what was their growth experience? What was the seller's growth experience, and how the buyer could be involved in that moving forward?
Nice. I love that. And I completely agree. Just, you know, bringing forth just growth opportunities, because that's what they're doing, is, you know, obviously I assume you acquired this to potentially grow it. Yeah. And the seller is the best source of information of what have they tried, did it work, what did work.
Mm-hmm.
And then just being able to double down on what works, and then obviously maybe reignite what didn't work, is a great strategy. So I love that. And then I guess in terms of you know, your current agency, tell me a little bit more about that. What is your current agency focus on?
Yeah, so we do marketing and sales ops for HubSpot businesses, or, like, managed CRM services is another keyword it falls under. So my last full-time role was building out a marketing team from the ground up at a startup, and it was all, like, facilitated through HubSpot. So I got really, you know, after being there for a few years and scaling the revenue, I just got really interested in, like, marketing and sales systems, and, like, what levers you really need to pull, like, depending on the business goals and things like that. So I have been using the HubSpot product for a long time, big fan of the company. And after I left the full-time role, I wanted to take some time off, but organic kind of consulting opportunities just happened to come up. And they were all really around, like, HubSpot implementations, or, like, the operations side of HubSpot. So, like, reporting automations, that kind of stuff. So I got more interested in it. And then, like, as of last July is when I really started to niche down and formally, like, launched that agency.
Nice. Congrats. We pretty much run MicroAcquire entirely off HubSpot. Everything.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, it's a great product, so we'll give it 2 sort of shout outs.
Yeah.
I guess for final questions, given I'm a huge marketer myself, maybe not as good as you, but I'd love to know If you were going to recommend like two books on marketing, what would they be?
Two books.
It could be podcasts too. There's any like yeah. where do you stay fresh in marketing? I'm interested in hearing that.
One of the, I don't know if this is strictly marketing, but one of the shorter books I've gotten into is Alex Hormozi's $100 Million Offers. It's a great book because it's just a very simple way of just like structuring an offer. And I think especially like more modern B2B marketers that have been in the game for a while, like tend to overcomplicate things and try to get fancy. So I really like that book because it's super simple. I'm a big fan of StoryBrand as well. So like any of the StoryBrand books, just the way that they think about marketing and telling like the hero narrative for a brand. It's really simple. And it's like, especially if like you're new to marketing, it's a fun way to learn about marketing. Cause it's
so tangible. I love both those books.
Yeah.
Nice. One book I'd recommend if you haven't checked it out is Play Bigger.
Okay.
It's around branding and storytelling and kind of category creation. It has some interesting stories around, I believe HubSpot might be mentioned in there in terms of category creation, Gainsight, and some other companies. So
cool.
Might be a good read for you. But that's kind of all I got, man. Cool. Appreciate you coming on here and sharing your story, and congrats again on the acquisition.
Yeah, this was fun. Thanks. Thanks for reaching out, and I'll continue to lurk MicroAcquire.
I appreciate that. So if people want to get a hold of you, where's the best place to contact you?
Yeah, follow me on Twitter.
I'll put it in the show notes so you don't have to say your Twitter handle.
I'm on Twitter too much, so Twitter's probably the best place to do it.
Sounds good. All right, Connor, appreciate you coming on here, and looking forward to hearing about your next acquisition.
All right, thanks, man. Enjoy the rest of your week.
You too. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the SaaS Acquisition Stories podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard today, make sure to like and follow on your preferred channel. And if you know a friend or colleague that would benefit from hearing this conversation, please share it with them. For more information on MicroAcquire and how we can help you start conversations that lead to an acquisition in just 30 days, check us out at microacquire.com. We'll see you next time.